for American Roots.
He took me by the arm.
From the University of Louisiana at Lafayette, this is KRVS 88.7 FM, Lafayette, Lake Charles.
A chubby party or what? Ain't no party like a chubby party, cause the chubby party don't stop. Ain't no party like a chubby party, cause the chubby party don't stop. Ain't no party like a chubby party, cause the chubby party don't stop. Ain't no party like a chubby party, cause the chubby party don't stop. It's time to get it on. Ain't no party like a chubby party, cause the chubby party don't stop. Ain't no party like a chubby party, cause the chubby party don't stop. Ain't no party like a chubby party, cause the chubby party don't stop. Ain't no party like a chubby party, cause the chubby party don't stop.
All right. Good thing we got the man here in person. We had a little malfunction with that CD. But as the song was saying, ain't no party like a chubby party. And in the station today for the exchange, this is Cheryl Castile. We've got Mr. Chubby Carrier.
Well, hello.
Welcome, Chubby.
Hello. How are you doing? How are you
doing? Yeah, it's great.
I think we got too much dust on that disc.
Well, and now it was, and I will say that wasn't his CD.
Oh.
That was mine, and, you know, I'll take responsibility for that. So sorry about that, everybody. Sorry, Chubby.
No problem. I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah, it's a good thing we've got you live in the studio.
Yeah.
You know, Chubby, you've had a lot of things go on for you over the years. You've had quite a musical career. We're going to start more towards what's been happening to you recently, and then we're going to take a step back. But you did win a Grammy.
Yes, I did.
And I know that was a thrill for you.
That was an honor. Honor, blessing. I mean, I'm still in awe. Even though it was a 2010 victory, you know, we received it in 2011, I'm still living the moment.
Every day,
especially when I pass by the Grammy, they're sitting in my house, on my bookshelf. I'm going, wow, it's real. It's still here.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's not a dream.
Yeah, you know. And I'm curious, what have you seen change for your career since that happened?
Well, a lot of attention, a lot of attention. I mean, I've got a lot of bookings from a lot of shows, just me being Chubby Carrier, the Bayou Swamp Band, but people recognize me as a local musician, first of all. They goes, well, we heard of you, but we thought you lived in Missouri or Kansas City or somewhere. We thought you were one of those outsiders.
Isn't
that
interesting?
Yeah. And a lot of festivals came and talked to me and brought me here. And goes, you mean to tell me you're from Church Point? I said, yes, I am. And we've been hearing your name, but every time we hear about Chubby Carrier, you always, always, always on the road. I said, well, I was one of those musicians that was determined to take Zydeco music as far as I possibly can.
Yeah.
So I could just introduce my music to the world.
Yeah.
You know? Before, bless his heart, Dick Clark died, he interviewed Madonna, and he told Madonna, what do you want to do in your career? I want to rule the world, is what she said.
Yeah.
You know, when I got interviews back then from KRVS on the radio station, the Zydeco station, they asked me, what are you doing, man? I said, well, I want to introduce Zydeco music to the world.
Yeah.
It's what I wanted to do. And nowadays, you get me people calling in. I love to have your music in my film, in my commercial, my series. stuff like that, and goes, wow. Because you know what? How wonderful it'd be to have a Grammy Award winner on our commercial, yeah. in our film, in our series.
Yeah.
You know? So stuff like that come to me now.
Yeah.
Know?
And that, you know, that kind of thing, too, besides you, it really, you know, makes all of the hard work, you know, that I think of you know, Terrence and Cynthia doing, too, to get that category going, and all the people that worked with them and all the volunteers, that really has paid off for some folks.
It has.
You
it
know,
has.
And, it, and, you know, hopefully we'll see some of that return.
We hope so. I mean, that was a lot of hard work for 7 years,
yeah.
and 8 years to only have it for 4 years, you know?
That's right.
That was a lot of work.
Yeah.
That was a lot of work for them. They were going back and forth to meetings. I remember Terrence get off the road. He drove 30-something miles from Boston, Massachusetts, and then Cynthia said, we got to turn back around. We got a meeting to go to in Memphis.
Yeah.
And he said, Cynthia, you just realized I just drove 36 hours. It doesn't matter.
That's
we
right.
We want this
we're
category.
Going.
We're going.
Yeah.
And he got in that, as tired as he was, he got back in that van and he drove another 8 hours to
That's
Memphis
right.
to catch that meeting that Monday morning.
Yeah.
That's called determination, man. Just wanting to get it, you know. And then, well, I every time I see him, I bow down to him. I said,
yeah.
man, that's a lot of hard work what you did to get this going, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that's going to come back and evolve itself, you know.
Well, and we're going to talk about your relationship with Terrence, you know, your history with him in a little bit. But, you know, the thing that you mentioned that I have really noticed, you know, and friends of mine, is you around here.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the big things, you know, not being yeah. a part of your management yeah. team or anything. I mean, the thing yeah. that I have really noticed is, wow, Chubby's playing where? Chubby's, wow, Chubby's here again? Isn't that wonderful?
A lot of places. A
yeah.
lot of places. I mean, I didn't get, I don't know, like I said, I had to say it like this, but it almost took me to win the Grammy for people to start to really recognize that I was from here and, you know, give me a chance to get in.
Well, and that's happened for so many local musicians. You
yeah.
know, people tend to not pay attention and take it for granted until, you know, they kind of make it big somewhere else.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, wow,
right.
didn't realize, you
right.
know.
Right, so you start getting calls from the local festivals and says, how would it be an honor? Would it be great for you to just grace our stage as a Grammy Award winner? We never had a Grammy Award winner grace our stage at our little festival
yeah.
ever before.
Yeah.
How would you like to be the first? You know, that
yeah,
kind of thing.
That's
you know?
Right.
And then it's like, you know what? I've been doing this for 25 years. Where you been?
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Where you been?
yeah.
I've been hearing about you, but I wasn't sure. I just thought you was from, you know, Texas or somewhere out of town. We didn't want any outside Zydeco bands here. And
yeah,
I said, no, I'm from right here, Church Point, Louisiana.
Well, let's talk about where life did start for you. Now, you were born, in Church Point or were you born
yeah.
in St. Over in St. Landry.
You were born Church Point. Yeah.
Okay. Because
yeah,
now
Church
you
Point.
Are the son of Roy Carrier,
yeah.
Who was, you know, a fine musician mm-hmm. in his own right. And
mm-hmm.
besides being a musician, your dad did so much to help a lot of young musicians.
A lot.
You know, get started.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot. He gave them all their first accordion, first rubboard, first lessons.
Yeah.
You know? He had his little club on Thursday nights. He'd invite them little guys to come play. And he goes, don't just stand there. You going to get on the stage or what? He said, oh, I don't know how to play. He said, how are you going to learn how to play if you don't go try to play?
That's right.
That's how
and that was the
goes.
Offshore Lounge. And, you know, I mean, that was quite a place for people to be able to
mm-hmm.
learn.
A lot of Thursday nights, fire those cats
That's
up.
Right.
A lot of them that got started today. It was all because of my daddy.
Yeah.
And he invited them to come over.
Yeah.
Come play. Them cats, they would stand there wanting to do it, you know. But like I said, when daddy fired him up and said, no, man, the only way you're going to learn how to play is if you get up there and you try to play it.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, today you got a whole bunch of them going around as drummers, guitar players, bass players, accordion players, rubboard players, and they all give props to my daddy.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
You know?
I've heard a lot of people talk about
oh, yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you were how old when you started playing an instrument?
Well, I was 8 years old when I first started trying to play my mama's pots.
Ah, okay.
That's the old and old Crestine pots, man, back in the day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and them black pots. We had a whole bunch of them, you know, growing up as families. Everybody had the black pots.
Were you using sticks at all, or were you doing it with your hands?
Most of the time, her spoons. Her big spoons.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then she knew I was using it because they come back home, they had dents all over them.
Yeah. Now, was your dad traveling at that time?
No, not traveling. Daddy was working in the oil field business.
And that's where the offshore...
That's
what
offshore
line. Right?
That's
okay.
offshore because he worked in offshore for 20-something years.
Okay.
And until he got injured. And then he was going 7 on, 7 off.
Okay.
That was his full-time job. But when he's here for 7 days, he played music.
Yeah.
And then when he got injured, he says, well, I can't play no more. You know, I don't want to sit around the house, do nothing. So he become a full-time musician. And then that's when they started playing around. But that's for me and the kids and the brothers and sisters. We always, that was our Wii, Xbox. Those instruments was our Wii.
Yeah.
Xbox, Game Boys, and all that. And we had to go play something, so we played the instruments.
Yeah.
That was hanging around the house in the utility room. And I was 8 years old when I started beating on mama's pots. And daddy said, don't do that. You're going to mess up your mama's pots and pans. Don't, you're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
So he said, go play the drums if you want to beat on something. I said, can I? He said, sure. Started beating on them and just doing what they were doing at rehearsing. And goes, this is what daddy was practicing the other night. He walk in, he goes, who playing that? I said, me. He said, son, where you learn that from? I said, watching y'all at rehearsals. He goes, oh my God. So I'm 10 years old. Daddy got his show at the American Legion Hall in Church Point. They would always play from 4 to 8 on Sunday afternoons. And the kids would go over to the babysitters and tell dad and mom was done, and they'd come pick us up for school. His drummer didn't show up. Packed. Place is packed. It's 4 o'clock. Drummer didn't show up. 5 o'clock. Drummer didn't show up. Daddy tells my guitar player, his guitar player, go get Chubby. He said, what? He said, go get Chubby. Go get Chubby for what? He's going to play the drums. Roy, he's 10 years old. He goes, it don't matter. You should hear him play. And he goes, all right, I'm going to go get him. Where is that? He's at Velma's and Frank's house. Go get him. Went to my cousin. I'm in the yard full of grass. You know, we play football.
Yeah.
Dirty, dirty, dirty. And he goes, Chubby, Chubby, Chubby. Screaming at him, going, huh? Hey, I thought you was playing guitar with my daddy tonight. He said, yeah, but we need a drummer. You got to play the drums tonight. What? Boom, dropped the football. Top speed, I got in that car, dirty, full of grass. I mean, this dirty as can be. But they said, your daddy said, come now. It's packing the joint. We need a drummer. You got to play tonight. And he ain't said nothing but, I mean, 2 words. I was already in the car, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
No rehearsal, nothing. But just watching that rehearsal, I got on stage, and I played the whole entire 4 hours.
Wow.
You know, they was enthused. They went, this is how I was introduced to play with my daddy. Because he needed a drummer. His drummer was late. They had no drummer. They called me.
Now, was there any hassle with you being a 10-year-old kid?
Yeah, yeah. I got to the door. The guy says, hey, what are you doing, kid? What are you doing? He says, my daddy want me to play the drums.
Yeah, right.
And he goes, yeah, right. Who's your daddy? I said, my daddy's Roy Carrier. He goes, no, wait. Then the guy, my daddy's guitar player, is crippled. He's getting on his crutches. Going, no. He plays the drum. That's Roy's son. He needs to play the drums. Y'all gonna get Roy. Roy comes to the door and says, yeah, that's my son. He's gonna play with us tonight. They saw this kid walking in. I'm never gonna forget that. That looks like it happened yesterday. I'm walking in, dirty, full of grass. Daddy got me. Come on, it's packed. Just follow me. Everybody go, what that kid doing up in here? Hey, look, that kid. Who's that kid? And daddy said, y'all don't worry about that. Y'all just go, y'all keep drinking. Y'all, we're gonna play right now. I got on drums. Ladies and gentlemen, ready to start. Got my drummer, now. Everybody looking around goes, who's on the drums? Because I'm so short.
You could see.
And they can hear them drums going, you know? And then the people started coming from the bar, from the back of the bar, towards the stage, and goes, oh, my God, how old is he? Daddy says, he's 10 years old.
Yeah.
Roy, is that your son? Yes, it is. And he says, oh, amazing, look at him playing your music. And I played that whole entire set, the whole 4 hours, not missing a break, nothing. I just watched him.
Yeah,
I would just watch him, but I take mama's posse and I go back and I do what daddy and I'm doing, were doing at rehearsal, and I just can't cop what they were doing. And daddy heard.
So did you do
drums.
A kick drum too that night?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you see, with daddy, let me start playing the drums in the utility room.
Oh, that's true. You started.
Yeah,
with, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I started practicing what he was doing when he wasn't there. He's offshore, and
yeah.
You know. And then, like I said, he walked in one time. He heard me playing to his music, and he goes, "Wow, who was playing that?" I said, "That was me, Dad." And he goes, "Man, how you learn that?" I said, "Just watching y'all." And yeah. We never rehearsed anything, but that day he needed a drummer. But he remembered that I was playing his music in the utility room. So that's how I got started. So I was introduced to that. That was my first gig.
Well, were you in the band then, or?
No, I was setting in. I just came. Well, he didn't have a drummer that night. After that show, yeah, the drummer was fired. So I became the drummer. So that's it. Here comes me. This is it. My daddy said, you're going to be in the band now. And my mom said, no, he got school. He can't be doing this on the weekend and following grown-ups and stuff like that. But it was a good idea because my daddy didn't know how to read or write. His daddy took him out of school when he was really young.
Sure, yeah.
They had, 7 boys, and he said, and about 4 girls, and they had a big family. So daddy would try to go to school, but most of the time, his daddy needed him to work.
He had
so many kids.
Yeah.
He said, the more I got in the field, son, the more I can feed y'all.
That's right.
I can feed y'all.
And which that was pretty common.
That was common back in the day. A lot of that happened. You hear a lot of fathers, a lot of, families that had to take the kids out of school,
yeah,
and take the kids to work.
That's right.
To be able to survive, to feed all the family, you know.
Yeah.
But his daddy was like, it was just rough, man. But so I went on the road. I traveled around southwestern Louisiana. Daddy fired his drummer that night. I become the drummer. And I was like a kid in a candy store, you know. I loved it. I was like, I'm in the band. And I was coming up watching Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5
yeah,
at that time.
Yeah.
And I was like wanting to be in the band so bad.
That's
because
right.
of that, you know.
Yeah.
So here it is with my big fro going to the band, got my vest and my jacket on, going, I'm in the band.
Yeah.
I'm in my daddy's
now,
band.
Now, what year are we talking about? Is it, now this is in the early 80s?
No, this is 1977.
So like 77.
I was 10 years old. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. I was watching Michael Jackson and watching Daddy Clifton Chenier. I'd only seen him on Passepartout. Is when I seen Clifton Chenier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Till I started with Daddy's band, then we played some shows with Clifton Chenier. And again, I was a kid in the candy store, sitting there watching Clifton play this instrument.
Where's the first place you saw him?
At Reshaw's Club.
Okay.
In 1978. I was on the floor, couldn't believe that.
Now, did you know about him before?
Yeah.
I mean, but you knew about him from Passepartout, but did you know that this was really something?
Yeah, because that's all we listened to in the house. Daddy had all Clifton Chenier records. I mean, that's all we listened to was Clifton Chenier. Daddy, every time a record came out, Daddy went, oh, man, Clifton got a new record.
Yeah.
We go to Church Point, we got Elise at the record shop, and we'd buy that album, you know. Every time Clifton had an album come out, Daddy bought it. And, you know, you play that album, it just spins and it starts over. It's play the same songs.
Yeah.
And that went on for hours in our house. But it didn't matter, because Clifton Chenier, and then we'd flip it over, of course.
Yeah.
But that music, it never died.
So how old were you about the night at Richard's that you saw him?
11.
11.
11 years old. Yeah, I was sitting in there and I was watching the drummer because I could hear the music. And Daddy said, well, we're the Bamboo in Opelousas. And Daddy says, no, we might as well cancel the Clifton Chenier Reshort. We ain't going to have nothing here tonight. We might as well cancel. And it was nothing at our show, because right down the street, trying to play Opelousas, when Clifton at Reshort, you can forget it.
Yeah.
Everybody was there, man. Everybody. I don't even know how they put those people in the place.
Hmm.
I mean, each side of the highway was filled with cars. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we had parked at least 2 miles to park. that's the closest parking spot we had. And we walked in, and I didn't care. I walked out, and we stood in line, and Daddy seen Kermit. And he goes, Kermit, Roy Carey. Oh, yeah, come on in. We skip all the crowds.
That's how you got in.
Yes,
yeah.
I got in.
You know, and I do want to mention, it's a great thing that club has reopened.
Yeah.
You know, a young couple, the Millers, have bought
it and
reopened this last weekend.
I see
so
that.
So that's a good part of history.
That's a big part of history. Yeah, yeah. So that's great to know that. But, that life coming up as a kid, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you remember the first out-of-town gig that you went on to?
Yeah, it was Texas.
Yeah.
It was huge for me.
I mean, that's a bit, yeah.
That was huge. When Daddy said, we're going to play in Beaumont, Texas, I said, oh, my God, I'm going to Beaumont, Texas? And don't mind you if I made it to Houston.
Yeah.
When I got to Houston, I thought I was in New York City.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, 11 years old kid.
I'm that's going, right.
We'd hear about Houston and I'd hear about Texas. And I'm thinking as a kid, that's far. That's a long trip from here, you know. But when I found out Daddy wanted to take me to Texas, and I said, I'm going to Texas with you. I'm going to be in the... Oh, am I? Yeah, he said, you're my drummer. And we had a lot of family in Texas.
Yeah.
A lot of family moved from Southwest Louisiana to find jobs back in the 70s. And they moved to Port Arthur. We had family in Port Arthur, Beaumont, and Houston. And then when Daddy played Beaumont, he made it like a weekend thing. He did like Port Arthur, Beaumont, and Houston as a weekend while he was going up there. And, man, we stayed with all our family members. But to know that I was... the one to talk about, Daddy says, Chubby's with us. He's playing in the band. Everybody's like, what? And they came out the woodworks to see me play.
Oh, yeah.
All and nobody was dancing. They were just watching me play. And it goes, how he learned that, Roy? I mean, this little kid is tearing up them drums back here.
Now, who else was in the band back then?
Oh, my God. I had my Uncle John Carey was on the washboard. My cousin Bill Thomas, he played with Leo Thomas.
Okay.
He was on guitar. And we had a guy, David Bernard from Opelousas. Back then. But we had a guitar player, he was crippled. We called him Mitson. You know? Guitar Slim is what we used to call him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He played with us, and for me to be in the band with those guys, those talented guys, musicians. And then every now and then Bebe and Calvin would come out with the twin fiddles.
And now we're talking about Bebe and Calvin Carey, huh?
Yes. And I'm like, oh my God. He said, Daddy said, tonight we're gonna have Bebe and Calvin come play with us. When them fiddles cranked off, the people hooped, hollered, and yelled for more. And I was in the key. I'm playing the drums going, I'm just holding watching, my mouth just dropping. Because I'm listening to the music they're making, and it's a magical thing happening because these guys don't read music.
Yeah.
They're feeling that from their heart and soul.
That's right.
You know, that's where that's coming from. And I'm watching Big Ben Calvin, and I'm playing the drums and just watching those two, this twin filling it, harmonizing, and going, listen at these guys play these instruments. Unbelievable. For a kid, wouldn't change it for the world.
Now, how are Bebe and Calvin, how are they related to your dad?
That's my uncle, my grandfather, that's grandfather's nephews.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's all in our family. And those, we had house parties. Oh, man. It's like every time we go to church on Sunday, someone was cooking Sunday dinner. Yeah. You remember Big Mama's house? We had Grandma's house. And somebody was cooking at Grandma's house, you know?
Yeah.
And one of them, Uncle Bill, said, well, y'all go on to church. I'm going to go ahead and get the dinner cooking. I'm going to have it all ready by the time y'all get out of church. We got to church. That was our lunch. It was no call, no going eating out thing. We went eat to Grandma's house every Sunday. And when they finished with all that good food, good cooking, visiting, then that's when you start seeing the tables kind of sliding at the living room area. They're setting up the drums in the living room area. That this is going to become the dance floor. Then Calvin and Bebe come over, Uncle John, all our relatives, and we all played music. And we just sat around, played music, and you can hear them just stomping.
Their foot's going, yeah.
I mean, you can hear them. I'm playing football out in the yard, right? And I hear that. And I'm hearing the singer say, oh, they're playing. So I run back in the house. And I'm telling you, I threw that football away, sat down right there, and it's like a kickoff.
And just
the
watched.
Whole time. Yeah. And watch every instrument, watch every person that played the instrument. And I was like, wow, look at my daddy play that accordion. Look at Bebe and Calvin on those twin fiddles. This is amazing. And then my friends going, hey, get out of there. That's all grown-ups in there. You need to come with us. You hanging with the old people. And I didn't mind at all. That caught my attention quickly. And I stayed as long as they allowed me to be there. I said, you fine, stay right there. You know? And then later on in life, I started setting in with the band. You know, because I started playing in Daddy's band at 10.
Yeah.
At 11, 12 years old, I started setting in with those guys.
With Calvin and Bebe.
With Calvin and Bebe. And Uncle Bill Thomas. Leo Thomas would come sit in sometime with us. And there was that Leo, he plays the drum because Leo Thomas played drums.
Yeah.
And he said, my kid plays the drums, too. He said, yeah, but he ain't like me. I'm the bull. Yeah.
That was a good impression.
He didn't care who that kid was. I don't care who that kid is. I'm the bull. Yeah. I'm Leo Thomas. He said, you're good. Now, give me my drumsticks. Get out of here, kid.
Yeah.
But those are the times, I'm telling you, I would not.
But, you know, I can't tell you how many people I could think of who would have loved to have been sitting in the corner with those.
Watching this magic happen,
yeah.
You know, and the time I wouldn't think, we had those little cassette players.
Yeah.
You could tape yourself, they would tape that. And we moved, man. We had tape everything they did. And I'm like, God, we never could find those cassette tapes. Never could find them. And because Daddy would say, he brought his big old tape player and he would tape everything they did.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to tape us. We'll go back and listen to it. And man, on Mondays or Monday night, we'd sit at the house and he'd play it back and goes, oh, yeah, that's Bebe and Calvin right there. And the music would sound so nice because, you know, it wasn't nothing pre-recorded. It wasn't like take again. It all came from the way they were playing and the way they felt that day.
That's right.
And that was some of the better playing ever.
Yeah.
Instead of getting in the studio going, okay, one, two, three, cut, go again. Mm-mm. When they kicked off that song, man, it was raw. It was just raw. This is how it is. If it's messed up, I'm sorry. But it wasn't.
Did your dad... ever record with them on a album or anything that he had?
No, the only thing they did was a cassette.
That was the only thing.
That's the only thing we had that daddy.
It's too bad you don't know where those are.
And I'm like, oh my God. I look and search and I ask mom and I said, big black trash bags.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
They thought it was trash. Somebody threw that away.
Sure.
Packed. She put all her clothes in there. She had suitcases. She has trash bags.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And we're just throwing stuff out as kids. Mom said, Daddy, go throw those trash. Go throw this. And I'm thinking,
yeah, you don't always think about that.
You don't
think about that stuff back then.
You know. So me and my little brother just dumping stuff out. And I'm thinking we dump all our albums, Cliff and Sinead albums. Because my mom and daddy got a divorce and they were moving out. And daddy was saying, throw some of that trash out of here. And mom packing black trash bags. And when the time, the kids thinking, when we were already crying and bawling because they're breaking up.
That's right.
And, we're just doing what daddy told us to do. And next thing you know, I figure when mom went to unpack her bag, she goes, hey, where's my clothes? that was your clothes? In the black bags? He said, yeah. And my albums and all you papas and grandpas and stuff, tapes. So most of that stuff got thrown out. That's what I'm thinking. Oh, yeah, it was gone. We had the big dump trucks come and they come pick it up, it's gone.
Wow.
And look, that was some moments this year. Oh my God, just to hear them guys play. And he wouldn't try to rehearse anything. That guy, my daddy would, I remember just catching his, putting his card in his hand, kind of fiddling around a little bit. Calvin, baby, you hear that? And they just start playing. Nothing was rehearsed, nothing was written down. It's like, oh my God, y'all just made magic happen right here.
Yeah.
And then daddy starts saying, you fill me up. And just making stuff up.
Yeah.
It's like, this is great. This is great. And everybody sitting in the house is bopping and going, my, this is cool. You know, and for me as a kid to see that stuff happening, oh my God. I try stuff like, I'm like, how y'all did that?
Yeah.
You know, how did you do that? You know? He said, son, you know what? Back in the day, you know, I played blues guitar too. That's what daddy said. And we had a lot of problems coming up as kids, as black kids in Southwest Louisiana. We couldn't afford no psychiatrist. You know? We couldn't afford to go talk to the doctor about this. So most of the time, I'm singing my problems away. Because he said, music was my medicine.
Yeah.
I said, wow. He said, so you hearing me talking about these stories? Some of it's true stories.
Yeah.
I just had to get the message across. And how you get the message across? I sang it. That was my cure. So music was his medicine.
Yeah.
For him, Calvin, baby, that's hard times.
Yeah.
And I said, that's what you made the song of? Yeah. Listen to what I'm saying. And I go back and listen to it. Yeah, he was a farmer working in the fields,
that's
picking
right.
cotton. I'm like, wow. You know? I'm like, listen to that. But for me, I tell you what, you know, I kind of feel that's why I can't write, because I never been through what he been through. You know, he been through some hard times.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he got his message across, for people to be able to hear that.
Yeah.
And as he got it out of his system, he felt cured.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a moment.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never could reveal that. But I learned a lot from watching.
Yeah.
A lot.
Can you pick up it's really nice today you brought your accordion in with you.
Yeah, I got it with me.
Can you pick that up and play something for us?
Yeah.
And then we're going to get into talking, too, about when that came into your life.
Well, I tell you what, this instrument here, between my grandfather and my daddy, you know, playing this instrument, I used to watch him all the time, and I would stare. I wouldn't play. I was too scared to play, because I knew I wasn't going to be good as them. And I watch him play that thing, and I said, man, how you know all these notes on this accordion and everything that you got going on, and you don't read, you don't write? He said, I play harmonica, I play the guitar, but it was all self-taught.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt.
Yeah.
But I watch him play that, and him and Bebe and him would do this. One night, Bebe and him played this thing that's called Blue Runner, you know? And then daddy heard him do it on the fiddle, and he says, I could do that on the accordion. He started doing this. The
That was Chubby Carrier live in the studio here on KRVS on the Exchange 88.7 FM or on the internet at krvs.org, the radio station of public service of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. Please take some time to check out the website, as I tell everybody each week. All kinds of things you can find on there, from international, national, regional news to what's going on in the area. And you can catch all the shows if you didn't have a chance to. You can listen online, or you can listen to them after the fact if you couldn't get to them. So, Chubby, thank you, ma'am, for doing that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Oh, my God. When I seen Big Ben and Calvin play that song, I was 11 years old when I saw it.
Do you know, we were talking, you and I, not on the air, but how my father-in-law, Hadley, had done an interview, Castile had done an interview with you years ago that we have on cassette. But, you know, we have probably the last interview with Calvin. We've got on cassette, and we have to get it remixed, because it's also very, because Calvin spoke very quietly.
Yeah, he did.
And it's all in French. And yeah, it's Hadley, Calvin, and Goldman Thibodeau. Mm,
oh,
and
goodness.
And Mr. Calvin, you know, he died sometime in the year, you know, after that. Mm-hmm. But it was fascinating. We went to his house that day,
yeah,
and just sat, and they just reminisced and played music. And, you know, we probably have about 2 hours worth of a recording.
Oh.
So that's another one we need to get fixed.
You
up.
have to get that.
Yeah, 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 because that's
very important to
that's
get.
That's right, that's right. So we got to make sure we get that to you.
That's amazing. I'd love to have a copy of it, just to hear him, you know, talk, you know, and express, because he did talk soft, because he was a true Creole Frenchman.
That's right.
And he spoke a lot of French. His English was so broken up, you couldn't hardly understand his English.
Yeah.
Because he spoke French so fluently. It's like, wow. We had to say, what'd you say? You know, we had to ask him all the time, say that again?
Yeah.
You know, he's speaking French in English, but you think he's still talking French.
That's right. Now, did your folks speak French when you were growing up, right?
My grandmother's from Haiti.
Ah.
Yeah. She didn't speak English at all. She got here back in the day. They considered them as slaves, but she was clean. She was one of those maids that came in, I consider, as a... She did a lot of plantations.
Okay.
You know? And if you've seen that movie that just recently happened, it was just a beautiful movie that I forgot the name of it was called. But
The Help?
The Help.
Yeah.
That reminded me so much of my grandmother, because she told us a story, because she was like, yeah, The Help. She was a person that came in that was, you know, taking care of the kids, always cooking and cleaning. She never got paid, though.
Yeah.
She never got paid. But that was the thing that she did, was for kind of her job to get out of Haiti.
Now, that was your mom or dad's mom?
That was my mom's mom.
Okay.
And then my grandfather was from
Philip. What was her name?
Alice Carey. Well, she's a Gallo at the time. Alice Gallo.
Gallo was her name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she was Alice Gallo. And she married a guy from... Well, actually, I don't know her maiden name, but she's from Haiti.
Got it, okay.
But when she married my grandfather was a Gallo.
Got it, okay.
And he was Creole from Ville Platte.
Yeah.
Well, we used to go over as kids, and we were 7, 8 years old, and she would tell us things all the time in French. And I said, Mama, why Grandma keep talking French to us? She goes, baby, Grandma don't speak English. She's from Haiti. I said, what? She was from Haiti. My grandfather was from here, from Ville Platte area.
Yeah.
And they spoke French all the time. Now, as kids, my mom and dad spoke French only when they wanted the kids not to know what they were saying. And I told my brothers, well, we might as well leave the room. Mom and dad, they were saying something in English, and all of a sudden they're saying something in French. That means they didn't want to know what we're saying, so we might as well leave the room.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they did, though. That's what
they
did.
That's right. That also was common.
That was very common.
A lot of families.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was one of them little nosy kids that used to sit in mom's face and go,
yeah.
And I stand there, and she gets, get out of my conversation, please. Go outside. And I wouldn't go outside. I go,
yeah.
I said, okay. And then she started talking to French, and I said, aw, Ma.
Yeah. Now, when did you pick up the accordion?
Well, it happened because my daddy was in the oil field business. As a kid, you try to play like I told you, that was all my Xbox, Wii, Game Boy.
That's the playroom.
That was a playroom for me. That was my playroom. Daddy had the instruments. We had a utility room where Daddy rehearsed. And the drums, the guitar, the bass, the accordion, the washboard, all was sitting there. So me and my brothers, we just said, we're going to join up. We're going to make our own band. we started playing drums. Then he says, oh, I'm going to play the guitar. Wow. Daddy started teaching the guitar. Cole says, as a kid, you want to change. He's like, I'm bored with that. And then all of a sudden, you go getting something else, the bass. But you know what? I stopped on the accordion. I skipped the rubboard. I went straight from drums, bass, guitar, and then accordion. And when I got to learning this thing here, it must have been a godsend, because my grandfather played the accordion. My daddy played the accordion. I'm the oldest boy in the family, and I'm following behind daddy's footsteps. And when I got to the accordion, I went, I put the brakes on.
It felt comfortable.
It felt good. I've tried every instrument in the building, and even though drums were my favorite, but this felt good. This is where I should be. And I told that to daddy. I said, daddy, I like playing the drums, but I feel comfortable, very comfortable playing the accordion. I like it. Can you... He said, oh, no.
Now, was it a single? What kind of accordion did you first pick up? What you've got in here today?
A Hohner Corona 3.
Ah, okay.
Because we never had a three-row accordion in the Acadian until Mark Savoy started making them.
Sure.
Mark Savoy started making the Acadian accordions.
Yeah.
But there was none there. All of us, like Furnace and the Thunders, my daddy, Roy Carey, who played the triple row, it was all a Hohner Corona 3, Mexican accordions, you know?
Yeah.
And, they had the two-row, the three-row, but that was all cajones. That was all accordions from Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, but they learned how to play the three-row and the double-row. My daddy never played a single-row accordion. Or piano roll. And then when Mark found out that Dupsy, my daddy, Furnace Arsenault, and all those guys started playing three-row accordions, Mark said, I'm going to start making them. Because Mark used to fix all Clifton Piano's accordions. You know, that was the guy that fixed all his accordions was Mark. And then Mark found out about the three-row accordions, and Daddy and them started taking their accordions over there. And Mark says, Daddy said, I got to get me another accordion, man. I don't want to go to Houston and get one. Mark said, I'm going to make one. And Mark started making those Acadian accordions.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That
was Mark's accordions. It was called Acadian accordions.
Yeah,
Acadian
which is accordions. His name. Okay.
That was Mark brand. He made a bunch of them. I bought one. Daddy bought one. Terrence bought one. We all was buying Mark three-row accordions, you know. But I saw that, felt comfortable with it, started playing the accordion. That's it. I was hooked. But Terrence called me, and he heard I was one of the better Zydeco drummers in the area. And he says, hey, man, I'm Terrence Simeon. I said, yeah, man, we go to school together. We go to Lautea High. I saw you sing a lot. He goes, yeah, man, I heard about you. You're a good drummer. I said, yeah, I do all right. He said, well, I'm going to Europe. And I said, yeah. And he said, I need a drummer. And I said, you ain't got to ask me twice.
Yeah. I'm gone. Yeah.
I didn't even ask him how much I was getting paid. I said, you ain't got to ask me twice. You going to Europe? He said, yeah, I got 10 shows to do with Fats Domino. But my drummer won't go because he don't like to fly. And I said, I believe I could fly.
Yeah.
I could touch the sky, my friend. And what he
had
told
you
me,
flown at that point?
Never. Okay. I've never been out to Texas. I've been,
yeah, that was
you
a
know?
Fun. Okay.
And not only let alone Terrence takes me to the New Orleans Jazz Fest. Okay, I've been hearing about the festival.
Now, how old were you guys then?
I was 17 years old.
Okay.
I heard about the Jazz Fest. I've never been to the Jazz Fest. And again, as a kid, you're thinking, that's huge. That's humongous.
Which it is.
Which it was, you know? And back in the day, too, it was like, that's huge.
Yeah.
You know, you hear like all the famous people playing there, you know, Fats Domino and Dr. John at the time. But Terrence said, well, we're going to play the Jazz Fest the Friday, and Saturday we're going to fly to Europe. I said, we're going to do the Jazz Fest? I have never played in front of thousands of people.
Yeah.
I did a couple of hundred of people. Because, you know, we can go to the church halls and put 200-300 people in the church hall.
That's right.
My biggest stage ever. Terrence took me out of Lafayette, Louisiana to New Orleans, Louisiana. Played the Jazz Fest. And I was like, oh, my God. I'd never been stage fright before.
Yeah.
I was so scared to walk on stage because I was scared I was going to mess up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God. You know? Thousands and thousands of people. And that was my first time ever getting on stage in front of that many people. Thank you, Terrence.
Yeah, that's right.
Then the next day we went on to Europe. And I couldn't sleep on the plane. I was too hyper. I couldn't believe it. But you know what? My body got tired. 2-3 in the morning, I fell asleep. Guess what? It was 8 o'clock in the morning there.
Yeah.
And the pilot says, ladies and gentlemen, your captain speaking. If you look to your left, you can see the Swiss Alps. I'm waking up out of my dream going, I'm dreaming? Swiss Alps? Raise my window go, oh, there's Europe. 17 years old, mind you. So we did 10 nights with Fats Domino. But Terrence knew
Did you get a chance to talk with him at all?
With Fats Domino?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We was his opening band. So we sat and we talked to him. He was, where you boys from? I'm from New Orleans, man. I said, we know who you are.
Yeah.
So we talk with him every time we had a show to do, and he just tell us, y'all play a little longer next time. I like that stuff, man.
Yeah.
I like that Zydeco. I like that. So he let us play a little longer sometimes. So he was very nice to us, you know?
Yeah.
But to go do 10 nights in Europe with Fats Domino, wow. 17 years old, wow. Europe, wow.
That's right.
Playing music, wow.
Yeah.
You know, amazing. But Terrence knew I had love for my accordion. Because I'm telling you, I miss it so much. Even though I like playing drums in this band, it felt comfortable.
Yeah.
It felt, that's where I need to be. I need to be underneath the helm with this thing.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, I don't know how much longer I'm going to play with you, man, because I'm really wanting to play the accordion. Something is in me about I need to pick up my instrument. The drums is not my instrument. The accordion is. And he goes, well, you know what, man? Whenever you're ready to go, let me know. I'll be losing one of the best drummers ever, but I understand. You know? But this is where I felt comfortable at my
It was
my
good
best.
Training for you, though.
It was good training.
You know?
2.5 years, we traveled the world.
Yeah.
Terrence had just had put a movie out called The Big Easy.
Sure.
And, man, we took off like some superstars.
Yeah.
No record deal. I mean, packing joints. Like 5 to 1,000 seaters. That's straight from the movie, The Big Easy. Terrence Simeon and the Manhattan Playboys.
Mm.
We don't have a record deal. We don't have no records, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
We went on the road with no record. Everybody wants to buy our records. Everybody. Where's the merchandise? We don't have any.
You can't do that today.
Uh-uh.
Without a CD or
no.
anything. Yeah.
No. And we just made they made a small scene in The Big Easy. It wasn't huge, but it was featured in the movie The Big Easy.
That's right.
They were featured in there. And that was huge.
And then they had the compilation.
And they had a compilation, out, right.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, it took off. And we get to some shows, people be lined up. Our van broke down, and we were late. And, I mean, we didn't even do sound check. We were full of oil trying to fix the van, trying to get there in Indiana. And here we are coming up with the band goes, let us in. We the band. They didn't even know who we were because we so filthy looking. Right around the corner, we was in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. That's where we were. And the theater was, I mean, the people was lined up to get in. I'm like, what they here for? We passed around the corner. They saw us. Never been there before. But they saw the band straight from the movie The Big Easy from Lafayette, Louisiana. Boom. Terrence Simeon and the Manhattan Playboys. Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. What an honor. But that did pave a lot of ways. And I saw a lot from that.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from that. You know, I babied that and I took it and ran with it.
Yeah. And it's really interesting watching, too, over the years, the musicians, especially accordion players who started out as drummers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me. And what that does for your rhythm and all that, you know.
Me, Gino, Keith Frank, we
Dexter,
all play with our dads.
Dexter, everybody, yeah.
We all play with our daddies.
Yeah.
All of us, you know. It does a lot. And then the drummers hate me. They goes, you don't keep a drummer, can't you? I said, man, you know, being a drummer is going to be hard on you.
That's right.
It's going to be hard on you. You got to lay the foundation down, man. I learned it. He said, yeah, but man, you were born with it. You know, you could play that stuff like backwards. Give me a chance. And I broke them in. You know, we went in and stuff like that, but drummers get mad at me.
I bet.
It goes, oh, boy. And to learn that rhythm, it's like when I went to New Orleans and I met up with Big Chief Mark Boudreaux. And their Indian style of beat is so, I mean, dynamic. It's like, wow, if you don't touch it, they won't feel it. And that's same for me. Because I got to have that groove behind me. It got to be there, or I'm not going to feel it.
Sure.
You know? But Ray Charles, same way too. He was the slowest count ever for the blues. But when he went, 1, 2. And that song had to be right there too. 3. Bo-do-bo-bam-bow. And I mean, he had to feel that in order for him to play it.
Yeah.
And that's same for me. And being I'm a drummer, it gave me so much good rhythm behind my music. And that's what people tend to go all over the world, goes, listen at your beat. You know, listen at your groove. People from like Ann Wilson at Heart, when she was huge, we played in Seattle, Washington, and she was in the club. And she went to me, goes, hey, where you guys are from? I said, Louisiana, Southwest Louisiana. You have a sound that's going to take you places, young man. Whatever you're doing, I can't feel the 1 or the 2, but what are you doing? Keep doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's different. It's going to take you places. I'm never going to forget that
That's
quote
right.
from her. You know? But
can you play something else for us?
Yeah. Now, what happened with this song I'm going to play here is now talking about Passepartout, Clifton Chenier. I used to set my clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And that's an alarm clock. really?
Not on your phone or anything.
Oh, no, not on the phone. That was a Malone
clock. This is pre, for all you young listeners out there.
Yeah. But I'd get up in the morning and set it up at 5 a.m. because I know Jim Olivier is coming on and I know who's going to be playing. Clifton Chenier. Yeah. And I never get to see him play live, right? Yeah. The only time I could see him play was on Passepartout. And he played this song, Tully Tars on Tone. Blew me away. Yeah. It's one of my favorites. I'm going to do it. To let us on town, I say, why am I teeth on? To let us on town, I say, why am I teeth on? To let us on town. See why I'm a telephone. They won't get money, see. I do my latte gone. I do my money, see. I do the latte gone. Two letters on tone. See why I'm a telephone. Hey, Morgan, Molly, see. I do the latte gone. Hey, Morgan, Molly, see. I do the latte gone. Two letters on tone. See why my teeth phone.
Very nice, Chubby. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange, and who we have in the studio today live, who just finished playing Chubby Carrier. Wonderful.
Thank you, dear. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed that.
When I used to see that man play the accordion, he had all this instrument in his hand. He had guitar, he had keyboards, he had bass, and that was one man playing that accordion.
Yeah.
And I said, how did he get all that sound out of that accordion? You know? But his left hand was this, I mean, if you ask me, it was detached from his body because he was doing something totally different. And his right hand, if you notice, I was playing these chops. That's guitar licks. And I said, I used to listen to him. I said, what is he doing? Because as he's singing, he's playing rhythm. That's his rhythm section, guitar. Then he had his bass player with him.
Just like you're walking the bass. Yeah.
I heard that. I said, oh my God. The man has a whole band in his hand.
Yeah.
You know how we talk about we got the whole world in our hands?
That's right.
He had his whole band in his hand.
You know, it's always interesting. I always enjoy hearing people talk about seeing Clifton, but I really enjoy hearing musicians talk about when they saw Clifton.
Because
there was so much that certain people couldn't figure out.
It still can't today.
Yeah.
We still can't.
Yeah.
I mean, this man has played some cards today. I'm trying to figure out, what was that?
Yeah.
You know? And talk about I couldn't read it right. Have you ever seen Clifton sign a signature?
No.
It's like, it's a big old C and a line.
Yeah.
That was it.
I know a lot of people that do that.
Yeah.
They just don't care to sign.
But I was talking to him. He said, oh, no, I don't read right. I'm a farmer. I'm a sugar cane farmer. I don't read it right. And I was talking with him when we was opening it up for him back in the day. And to see him play these cards and to hear the instruments, because the cards today, you can't teach that in school.
Yeah.
I mean, when Clifton played the blues, talking about the hard times.
Yeah.
And I listened to the way he had his chord progressions, and I'm like, oh my God, what is that? I can go ask a teacher right now, what's that card he's playing? They can't tell me what it was played. He goes, man, I don't know if that's between diminished, or I don't even know if that's a major 7, 8, 9. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
You got to talk to Clifton about that. But it's a beautiful chord.
Yeah.
you know? But that's what he was feeling at that time. And I'm blown away, blown away. But that's some of the things that I tell my kids, because I'm doing a little educational program myself.
Okay.
And I go into classrooms and I talk about the music and the instruments, and I say, even though I don't know how to read or write music, I feel it and I tell them where it come from, you know? Because the main thing, like I told him, I said, well, my dad used to teach me how to change a carburetor on a car. You know, he would tell me the best way to learn it is pay attention.
Mm.
And the kids in class goes, oh, that's something we don't do.
Yeah.
I can't solve my math problem.
Pay attention. That's right.
Yeah. So I give them that's kind of like my message to them.
Now, do any of your kids play music?
Yeah.
Your own kids?
My son plays with me. My son is on drums with me.
Oh, that's, you know, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I got my son. He took a little break there for a while. He got married and he played locally with Chris Arduin.
Yeah,
And Keith. But he's back in the band with us now.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, he's one of them. And my baby boy, he's not into it as much like my oldest boy.
Yeah.
And my 8-year-old, she goes between drums, singing, and like me, not sure when I was
a
kid.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're just letting it kind of float around, let her get her comfort zone. And
that's cool.
And let her take it from there, you know?
Yeah. Well, now, I want to tell folks out there, if you do want to see Chubby locally here in the Acadiana area, he is playing May 19th out at Lakeview Park and Beach in Eunice. And if you haven't been out there for a dance, it's a great place for a dance. It's this big old barn and just a great feel, great dance floor out there. And then May 20th, you're going to be playing at Vermilionville here in Lafayette for their Sunday dance that they do out there. And again, that's another place, great acoustics, great dance floor.
Love it.
Especially for the dancers to get out there. You are going to be hitting the 17th in Lake Charles at L'Auberge Hotel and Casino, and May 18th in Morgan City, Rhythms on the River. But again, you can catch Chubby, Lakeview, Park and Beach, in Eunice, and Vermilionville on the 20th for their Sunday dance in Lafayette. So something that you people haven't always had a chance to do around here is go out and see Chubby Carrier.
No. And it's funny that the people that's coming out goes, wow, where are you from? Who are you?
That's right.
But you know, that's me, you know, taking the road for many, many years, and I tell it to people all the time. It's like, you know, even though I'm from here, I was one of the bands that was determined to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
And introduce the music to the world.
Yeah.
You know? And people says, well, man, you do a good job at it, because I tell you what, you won a Grammy and now you're back here and you didn't forget where you come from.
Yeah.
I said, no, not at all. I won't forget where I come from. This is the heart and soul of it.
Yeah.
I just want to be able to go and spread the Zydeco gospel to the world.
That's,
you know,
right.
But I still know where I come from, and I want to come back to my roots, you know?
Now, who else is in the band with you right now?
I have Earl Sally. Earl Sally.
See, now, Earl's been around. Now, that's a guy who's got some history, too.
Yeah.
Some great stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He ran the roads just like me. I mean, since he was a teenager.
Yeah.
And we're talking on the plane coming back from San Diego, man. We were, like, looking at each other going, how long are we planning on doing this?
Yeah. Now, he's an Opelousas boy.
He's in Opelousas right now. I got a guy from Thibodaux, Louisiana, Randy Ellis, on guitar. He's been with me for a long time, about, oh my God, close to 20 years.
Okay.
And my son is on drums. And I got...
what's his first name?
AJ. Adrian Bello.
That's right, okay.
But he's we call him AJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I got Mark Matwire. His family's from the Iberia Parish area. So he's playing bass with us right now. So I got a great group of guys with us, you know.
Yeah.
And every now and then I've been pulling out Bo Thomas playing some fiddle.
Ah,
with
him. Boy, that's a fiddle player.
My God. People come to my shows, goes, man, your sound has changed when you got Bo in the band, you know?
Yeah.
And that's back to my roots.
Yeah.
You know, and I think on my next album I'm gonna feature a lot of fiddle.
How'd you hook up with Bo?
Bo and I have been knowing each other a long time.
Okay.
Oh yeah, back in the Joe Douglas days.
Okay, oh yeah, yeah. And he was young then.
Me and Bo was both young.
Yeah.
We 44, he's in his 40s now. I think Bo is 43, 42, something like that. But we met way back then, you know.
Wait, did you play with Joe?
No.
Thomas, just during that time. Yeah, you didn't play with Joe, but when he was playing with Joe.
No, when he was playing with Joe Thomas. We were playing in the Conroe Catfish
Joe
Festival.
Douglas.
Yeah, Joe
Got
Douglas,
it.
Joe Douglas. And we were playing...
Oh, you always do the Conroe one.
We did a lot of the Conroe Catfish, and Bo was playing up there, and I go, man, that guy could play some fiddle.
Yeah.
And I remember walking up to Bo Thomas, and I said, man, you know what? I'm not a big fiddle fan, but I tell you what, you know, because knowing that Calvin and Bebe was my best,
yeah,
I'm kind of spoiled, you know what I'm saying? I heard them, I said, I done heard the best.
Yeah.
But Bo was like, you know what? To say, you know, I've heard a lot of fiddle players in Acadiana, you do a great job. I like your tone. I like
and
your
Joe
feel.
Joe always had really good players.
Always did.
And he had Gary Granger, yeah, on guitar.
Yeah, he always had great players. And when I heard Bo play, and I said, my God, I told him, I said, you remind me of my cousins, man, BB and Calvin. You know, and here he is. He's phenomenal. He's a beast.
Yeah.
So I bring him in every now and then. We do his festivals.
That's great.
And I think on my next album, I'm going to feature, you know, Calvin is dead, Baby is dead, Dad is dead, and I want to try to, you know, their music living in me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take it. I'm going to do a couple of songs off my album in tribute to them, you know?
Oh, that's cool. That's a nice thing to do.
That's what I want
to
do. That's where my heart is at right now. And I think the only one I can think right now, you know, besides Mr. Hadley Castile, who's been in that era,
yeah,
could do something like that is Bo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, dog, I can't just, you know, when I start thinking about it, give me chills, you know?
Yeah.
But I want to kind of bring that back because, like I told you, I told people, even though I've been to Hollywood, I know where I'm from.
Yeah.
So I'm going to come back to my roots, you know?
And it's nice that people here are appreciating you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you got to just let them know what I've done.
And you just, like I said, you're in a long list of folks who, you know, had to do a lot before people, at, you know, in their hometown appreciate what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I forgave them, you know, so I was
That's
like,
right. Well, I really appreciate you coming on here today, Chubby.
Thank you.
It's been absolutely wonderful.
It's been fun.
Go to chubbycarrier.com. You can keep up with what's going on with Chubby. Check out what he's got for CDs and see his schedule so that you can follow him here. And for those of you listening that don't live in this area, you can catch him when he comes to your area. And again, I just want to mention he will be the 19th in this area at Lakeview Park and Beach in Eunice and the 20th at Vermilionville for their Sunday dance. You want to play something live for us going out, or should we play something off your CD?
I would like to play some of the CDs.
Let's do that.
That'd be great.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to listen to Zydeco Junkie. Everybody have a good week. Chubby, thanks again.
And thank you, Cher.
All right.